It's 5 in the afternoon or 5 in the evening on the west bank of the Tigris, and the sun is starting to soften after a blazing hot day. Just down the river there are men and boys playing in the water. It's low tide at the moment, it's very low, the water. But where I am, groups of men have turned up in an array of sporting costumes. This is the training centre for the Central Union of Iraqi Rowers and Canoeists. As you can hear, people are putting their boats into the water and climbing in and then going off into the Tigris. I've got to say, small pang of jealousy. They're so completely away from the hurly-burly of Baghdad on the east and west banks of the Tigris. They look incredibly graceful and free and peaceful. It's another Baghdad, another part of this strange city. The Tigris is in stories and in songs, in pictures and in poems. And no wonder, not only did placing Baghdad on the Tigris give the city control of a key strategic and trading route, the Tigris also provided water to one of the hottest cities on earth. The Tigris enabled Baghdad, founded more than 13 centuries ago, to become one of civilization's flowers. A city of gardens and parks, as well as libraries and grand buildings. Professor Ali Al-Nashimi of Baghdad's Mustansiriya University is also sometimes known as the Encyclopedia of Baghdad.
The name of Baghdad means the heaven, the paradise. Baghdad. Bagh means nursery, or garden, or heaven. Dad mean God. Baghdad, the heaven of the God. There is something in the Tigris, you can find it in any city in the world. Mostly the river goes straight. Baghdad have something different. In the river of Baghdad now, you can see. He come from the north to the south, and suddenly you saw left to the right and return to the north and return to the east and return to the south and return to the north. In order that you can find Tigris in everywhere in Baghdad.
I've come out on patrol with Baghdad's river police. There are 3 officers on the hot little boat, one fore, one aft, and sheltering in a small cabin, sitting behind the wheel, Captain Hassan. The river is quiet today. It's Ramadan and much of the city appears to be sleeping. For a long time, the Tigris was, to me, an outsider, an obstruction to understanding Baghdad. It was a place that, with its random bridge closures and its winding path through the city, it meant that I never got a grasp on how the city worked, on actually how to get round Baghdad. It was also, for many years, a place of death, where scores and scores of bodies were dumped after torture, mutilation and murder.
We found bodies every day during the sectarian war, handcuffed with their eyes gouged out. Some were shot. This is a crime against humanity. The people of Iraq are like brothers, but the sectarian strife sabotaged us. We describe those people who killed and dumped people into the river as nothing more than criminals.
The Tigris had seen bodies before. When the Mongols sacked the city in the 13th century, the river was said to have run first black from the ink of the books dumped in the water, then red from the bodies. Now, it lies low in its bed, islands of mud appearing within it, sluggish grey-green in the city's stifling summer.
One day I faced a big problem with the security in the period of Saddam. They took me in the security and they harm me and torch me and do and the electricity and the many things. When I go out, I came here to the river, really. I said, oh, my friend, I saw what you saw, but you saw more. But you are better than me. You didn't cry, but I am crying. Really, I said to the river that. And many Iraqi people say that to the river.
Of all the surprises on the Tigris, riverboat restaurants and jet skis spring to mind. Rowers crisply pulling their boats over the water as the sun softens surprise the most. There is an order to it that does not feel terribly Iraq 2015, and an energy that contrasts with the lugubrious river and the heavy heat. Coach Hassan Shaukat Hassan almost tips into poetry when he speaks about the river.
The Tigris is a very important part of the lives of Iraqis because it helps us to get rid of the work concerns and our work pressures. When we come to the river, we throw our concerns into the river, which makes us reborn. The difference between the city and the river is that we find the quietness and tranquility in the river and peace of mind. We find freedom that we lack in other parts of the city. We feel that the river is a gift from God to us. It helps us to get rid of our concerns and our problems. Even though it is the artery of all Iraq, it has a special meaning for Baghdad.
What you get from the river that you never really get a sense of when you're in the city itself is how beautiful Baghdad is. Of course, there's rubbish tumbling down the banks where it's been dumped, and there are ugly apartment blocks and crumbling buildings. But there's also intricately decorated minarets, graceful blue domes, statues, thousand-year-old schools. There are children dipping in and out of the water. There are reed banks swaying in the wind. You get a sense of what Baghdad has been before and might yet be again. Of course, most Baghdadis see their river from here, from the riverbank. I'm on a riverside street named after the poet Abu Nuwas, and there's a broad strip of green running down by the side of the river. And there's new playgrounds and stalls selling cold drinks and candy floss, plastic chairs and tables. And on these hot nights, people have come to break the Ramadan fast and smoke shisha and kick a ball around, eat at the fish restaurants. And they're doing that thing which is so rare in Baghdad. It feels so rare. They're relaxing. There's a whole group of people over here stoking up a barbecue, having fun and waiting for the fast to end. Right now, razor wire still keeps people away from the riverside itself. But one day, that will go. And Baghdadis will then get all of their Tigris back again. I'm going to go to the next one.